This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. The civil rights movement of the mid-20th century was propelled by the work of determined and vigilant activists. The efforts of people like Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King are cemented in history, and among the list of important leaders is Ella Baker. She grew up in rural Littleton, North Carolina. Her activism began as a student at Shaw University in Raleigh in the 1920s. She went on to work with the NAACP and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And in 1960, she helped bring together student activists in the wake of the sit-ins at Woolworth's lunch counter in Greensboro, just a block away. The meeting took place at Shaw University and birthed the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, also known as SNCC. A new book for young adults chronicles the work of Ella Baker. It's called We Who Believe in Freedom, The Life and Times of Ella Baker. And joining me now is Lee Williams. She wrote the book. She's a former administrator at Bennett College and North Carolina A&T State University in Greensboro, and now teaches at Guilford Technical Community College. Lee, welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you.
Start a little bit with Ella Baker's roots. Of course, born in Virginia, but really grew up in North Carolina. Tell us about growing up here.
Well, she moved back with her parents at the age of 7 from Norfolk, Virginia. They lived in Littleton, North Carolina. Ella Baker was always influenced by her family, by her Black Baptist roots, and by education, and you mentioned Shaw University. She started out as a very smart young woman. She was one of three children. Her mother and father both had roots in North Carolina, and in one generation, they moved from enslaved people who were their parents to moving up the educational ladder. And the parents insisted that Ella and her two siblings also got a quality education. So schooling was always very important for her. In fact, in that day and time, and Ella Baker was born in 1903, there were not many schools for African Americans then, so she and her siblings went to a private church-sponsored school. Before she went to Shaw Academy as a ninth grader, her mother kept her at home to study with a private tutor for a whole year. Writing was important, knowing how to write well, knowing how to speak well, and so those were the things that she focused on.
And that Shaw Academy, of course, associated with the university, but it was also a boarding school, so she had to leave home.
It was a boarding school at ninth, and she went for ninth grade. She matriculated through high school, and then through college, she got her undergraduate degree there. She was the valedictorian of her class. As I listen to people talking about UNCG and especially Woman's College, some of what Ella Baker experienced, you can imagine, were stricter rules at Shaw Academy and the university. There was the Dean of Women, who was a feared person at the institution. One of the first causes that Ella Baker got involved in was when she was a senior, and some of the college students came to her and asked her if she would write a letter petitioning the Dean of Women to allow the college women to wear silk stockings on campus. They were not allowed to do that.
Wow. Why? How did she come to the attention of these undergraduates in college?
Well, she always stood out. Wherever Ella Baker went, she stood out. And they knew that she knew how to speak well. She spoke with confidence. They also knew that she knew how to write well. And so she was a star even in high school, and they went to her because of those skills that she had.
How did it work out?
Well, not too well at the time.
The old silk stocking protest ended in failure.
It took a couple of years after Ella Baker graduated for that dress code to go by the by. But she was very forceful when she went to the dean. First, they presented the letter to the dean. The dean then called them in and really said to them that this was not going to change. They would not be allowed to wear stockings on campus. And in addition to that, they had to go to chapel in the evenings, every evening. They were already going every day to chapel at that time, but they had to go in the evenings as well.
Because of this protest?
Because of the protest. Hmm. And it is said that she even called Ella Baker in to talk with her one-on-one. And Ella Baker stood up for herself, as she always did. And it said that the dean fainted to the floor because of Ella Baker's insistence that the young women be given a fair hearing and that that rule be changed.
This would not be the last time that she has driven administrators to the floor. She went to Shaw and butted heads there as well, right?
Yes. And when she went to the university, one of the first acts of rebellion there was when the president asked her to sing. It was not unusual, and this was a white president. Shaw did not have an African-American president until 1931, and Ella Baker graduated in 1927. Mm-hmm. So the president asked her if she would sing a Negro spiritual to one of the visiting dignitaries. People from the Northeast would come. These were potential contributors to the university. And she refused. She felt it was demeaning and that she did not want to sing spirituals, did not want to be exploited in that way. And then the final time that's recorded that she rebelled was when she was a senior, because taking a course in Bible study, the New Testament, Old Testament, was part of the curriculum. There were students who felt that one professor was particularly unfair in that he did not allow the students to bring notes to class and other professors did. And so again, they said, we don't think this is fair. We do not want to have to take this test in order to graduate. It was a graduation requirement. But they relented on that. I think some parents probably got in touch with them and said, look, you've spent time there. It's time to graduate. We do not want you to endanger that. So they went ahead and took the test, but they did protest against the one professor.
She then moves to, he did allow, by the way, stone tablets, but just no. I'm sorry. She moves to Harlem now and again becomes very involved in the Harlem Renaissance and the arts and culture scene out there.
Well, you can imagine a young woman, although she was 23 years old, she had really been in this very cloistered community of Shaw Academy and Shaw University. She gets to Harlem in 1927, in the middle of the Harlem Renaissance. And it's so eye-popping what is going on there. And she took to it like a duck to water. Places, storied places like the YWCA in Harlem, the YMCA, the Harlem branch of the public library, which is now the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture. These were havens for Ella Baker because she could meet other young people who were just as curious intellectually as she was. She came across people who were espousing what were radical political ideas, but they were thoughts that she had in her head that they articulated. And so she found a community in Harlem.
And organized, began really organizing people around first a cooperative and then getting young people together, right?
She did. One of the first jobs that she had was working at the Harlem Y. It was a youth program. And this was to be typical of Ella Baker throughout her career. Anything that she touched, she made better. And this was a youth program, which was kind of an idea that someone at the library had. They gave it to Ella Baker and told her to go forth with it. And what she was able to do was to make that into a star program at the library. She brought in people from the community who were prominent to talk to young people. She exposed them to books, literature, ideas. She also reached out to other people in other organizations and brought them in to the organization, collaborated with them. This, again, was sort of a signature way that Ella Baker found to build coalitions with other people.
This coalition building and grassroots sensibility that she had about organizing would essentially bring her to loggerheads when she was part of the NAACP and again the SCLC, right?
It did. It brought her to loggerheads with the established civil rights organizations. She went in, and like so many of the women in the movement, they were kind of silent voices in the community. They were behind the scenes people. The out front people were the men. And at the NAACP, that was the case, whether it was Walter White or Roy Wilkins at the SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. It was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. These were people she often had a very tense relationship with because she spoke her mind.
And she ascended to leadership positions, even having a sort of temporary leadership of the SCLC after being associate director, and they never would appoint her the head.
They never did. First, she was asked to come in by two of Martin Luther King's male lieutenants to help draw up a blueprint for an organization. This was after the Montgomery bus boycott, and King wanted to know how can we keep this movement going and how can we seed it throughout and spread it throughout the South. And so the two men knew Ella Baker and knew the work that she had done at the NAACP. They said, we've got to have her on this team. Well, King was reluctant to have her, but finally he was persuaded to bring her in. So she worked to draw up the blueprint and then worked after the organization got started, she really worked at the office of the SCLC. They went out after a while, decided, well, we need a paid staff person to be the director. They went out seeking that person through a search. They never considered Baker for it. The first person who was director came, was there for about a year, did not work out very well. They had a second search. Again, they overlooked Baker. And when she got fed up with organizations, that's when she decided she would move on.
Well, talk about that. Sadly, we only have a couple of minutes left, but we do need to hear about her role founding SNCC.
Yes. Yeah. She was pleased in 1960 to read about four students who sat down at the Woolworth's lunch counter, and that movement spread throughout the South. She wanted to bring together the college student leaders. She thought that they needed to be organized. She wanted them to get to know one another. She thought they could learn. There were lessons to be learned. And so she did get the SCLC to give some money, $800, to convene a meeting in April of 1960 on the campus of Shaw University. And she brought together the leaders. Martin Luther King agreed to come and speak. The young people came, and the second meeting that they had was when SNCC was birthed.
And of course, there's a big debate in the SCLC about whether or not even young people should be part of this movement, right? I mean, that was part of the resistance she faced.
Well, she faced that, but they also, because the sit-ins were so well received and had spread, so that they wanted those young people to become part of their organizations. But she said, form your own.
She went on, and I think the message in most of her, and I don't want to reduce it to this, but it was certainly about grassroots organizing ground up, and that was really not the way things were going.
No, it was top down, very much top down, male dominated, and she would go into a community. She would look for the grassroots leaders. She would provide training through workshops for them. She went to places where the NAACP staff thought women would not go. It was not appropriate. It was not the proper place. It might have been a pool room, a barbershop, a beauty shop, a bar, a filling station. She recruited people who were respected in the community and taught them how to be leaders.
You have written this book for a younger audience. Tell me why you think it's so important that that younger folks know
about it. Well, this came out of a first book that was Servants of the People, the 1960s Legacy of African American Leadership. The second edition in 2009 included Ella Baker, and I just felt that I wanted a younger audience of a new generation of young people to know about leaders and to know about leaders like Ella Baker.
You know, it seems these days there is certainly, especially among younger audiences and younger people, a lot of activism and a lot of enthusiasm about changing things, but the architecture is not evident. And mm-hmm. it would seem to me that maybe now more than ever, somebody like Ella Baker and her example of sort of how to pull it together and create the trellis might be important. I think they are out there,
and we don't have to look to national leaders to provide that. I think they are in our communities.
I want to thank you so much, Scholar Lee Williams, who joined us to talk about her new book for young adults about civil rights leader Ella Baker. The book is called We Who Believe in Freedom, The Life and Times of Ella Baker. Lee Williams, thank you so very much. And you can find out more about the book and everything else we talked about at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton Orman, Laura Pelliser, and Jennifer Brooklyn. Robin Copley is our technical director with help from Al Widarski today. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stasio. Once again, the music of Carmen Bliss.
Sunday to Monday, when it'll fall, baby to grown up, grown-ups having babies, my hair grows and sheds, but I wish it were longer instead. My fingers getting fatter, too much salt in my bladder, maybe one day I'll turn it around, around, around. From this side of this turntable, I'm still learning, but wiser. I am young, but I'm growing old, and there's no more popping gum or doing what I'm told. Between me and you, you better keep going, or the devil will push you around, 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 around. Like la-dee-da-dee-da-dee-day. The same tune plays in the background, so play it backwards, wake the people, turn it around, around, around. Even when you're standing still, the heartbeat's rhythm that moves the people around, 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 around. From A to Z, and every letter in between, black and white, and every color in between, fuzzy fuss, here I fuss, but they shoot us down, down, down. Fuzzy fuss, here I fuss, but they shoot us down. We gotta wake up, we gotta turn this around. Around, 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 around. La-dee-da-dee-da-dee-day. The same tune plays in the background, so play it backwards, wake the people, turn it around, around, around. Even when you're standing still, the heartbeat's rhythm that moves the people around, 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 around. Round, round, round.
Thank you.